Possible budget cuts to Milwaukee County's bus system could have dire consequences for thousands of residents. It's Thursday, May 11th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Danielle Kading reports on fears that erosion from spring flooding may compromise the integrity of an oil and gas pipeline. And we've got a story from Hope Kerwin about the possibility of turning cheese byproduct into eco-friendly plastic. Stay with us.
Our world gets more complex all the time. You rely on WPR to turn complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language. This essential service that you count on relies on your support. It's the largest source of our funding. If you've never given before, make a contribution now of, say, $10 a month at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Possible budget cuts to Milwaukee County's bus system could have dire consequences for thousands of residents. Evan Casey has more on the potential impacts.
A Wisconsin Policy Forum report found that the Milwaukee County transit system could see a budget deficit of nearly $26 million in 2025. That's largely due to ridership declines, fiscal constraints, and the ending of federal pandemic relief. Just a 20% reduction in its budget would mean 74,000 commuters would be without a bus ride. Denise Wonke is a president of the system. She says the future cuts are concerning.
There's no way that a county of this size can be without some public transportation. I mean, that would be the worst thing that could possibly happen for Milwaukee County.
Wisconsin lawmakers are currently debating sending more state money to local governments. The report found those funds could help delay future cuts for the bus system. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Senate committee heard testimony on Wednesday from Governor Tony Evers' pick to head the Wisconsin Parole Commission. Former Democratic lawmaker John Erpenbach has been leading the body since mid-January, but still needs official confirmation from Wisconsin's Senate. Erpenbach's predecessor resigned last year after being criticized for paroling a convicted murderer who'd served less than a third of his original sentence. During a hearing Wednesday, Erpenbach promised to meet with any crime victims wish to be heard by the commission.
Part of the reason why there were the breakdowns that there were at the parole commission is the lack of communication from above down to the commissioners and to the staff.
The head of Wisconsin's parole commission decides whether to release certain prisoners who committed crimes before the year 2000 and who meet other criteria. A timeline for Erpenbach's confirmation is yet to be set. The Bad River Tribe wants an emergency shutdown of Anchorage's Line 5 oil and gas pipeline on its reservation. As Danielle Kading reports, that's due to fears erosion from spring flooding may compromise the line's integrity.
Attorneys for the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa filed an emergency motion in federal court to shut down Line 5. The tribe's attorneys say the Bad River is less than 15 feet from the pipeline at four locations, and only 11 feet of riverbank remains in one spot. Bad River Tribal Chair Mike Wiggins Jr. says the situation poses a tangible threat to the Bad River watershed and Lake Superior.
Enbridge is all about profit over everything. And we are about our future generations and protecting our ecosystems and downstream resources.
Enbridge says there's no cause for alarm and no risk to the pipeline, which continues to operate safely. An Enbridge spokesperson says a shutdown would have severe consequences for the U.S. and Canada. The tribe's attorneys want a federal judge to rule on its motion by Friday. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Wisconsin utility has a new plan to convert abandoned mines in the upper Midwest to hydroelectric energy sites. Dairyland Power Cooperative, along with Sweden's Mine Storage International and Michigan Tech, is looking to bring pumped storage hydropower to abandoned mines. That would store energy by using two water reservoirs at different heights. It pumps water from an upper reservoir down to generate electricity. Rainey Vasanoja is with Mine Storage International. He says the partnership with Dairyland is the company's first venture in America.
The U.S. market is actually moving right now. It's a big market with different state laws and different regulations. So we basically chopped it into different parts. And for now, we're focusing on the upper Midwest.
Officials say the partnership aims to support renewable energy initiatives and the power grid. Coming up, Hope Kerwin reports on how one cheese-making byproduct could reduce society's reliance on fossil fuels. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, cheese plants today are bigger than they've ever been. And bigger operations mean more waste products that cheesemakers need to manage, sometimes at the cost of millions of dollars. As Hope Kerwin reports, one Wisconsin researcher thinks a byproduct could do more and may even reduce society's reliance on fossil fuels.
Many of us know the nursery rhyme. Little Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet, eating her curds and whey. But what is whey? Well, it's a cloudy yellowish liquid that's a byproduct of cheese making.
When you take 100 pounds of milk, you end up with about 10 pounds of cheese, and then the rest is whey.
Pete Condrup is general manager of Westby Cooperative Creamery. His plant deals with around 150,000 pounds of whey every day. He says it's always been a part of the cheesemaking process. As cheese plants have gotten larger, whey has become more of a problem. The largest dairy plants in the state produce several million pounds of it each day. They've invested millions of dollars to dry it down into livestock feed. That's a product they can make money from. But many plants are just breaking even, and some are even spending money to manage whey. That's where John Lucy comes in.
I'm a chemist, so I look at this as chemistry. You know, we can convert it to something else.
Lucy heads the Center for Dairy Research at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He wants to turn whey into the chemicals used to make plastics and other consumer products that are currently being derived from fossil fuels. He says the chemical building blocks made in oil refineries are holding us back from a greener future.
We've got to replace those too, unless we want to keep using fossil fuels. So we're interested in making a whole bunch of these kind of basic chemistry kind of things.
On UW-Madison's campus, the center has its own mini cheese plant. There are stainless steel basins where scientists can experiment with small batches. And on a raised platform, large computerized vats mimic modern processing plants. Lucy says they recently purchased a bioreactor, which is a stainless steel chamber that can be used to ferment whey into different chemicals. And he says they already have many of the tools that are needed to design the process.
So a lot of the filtration, this is an evaporator right here. So you might want to evaporate out and remove water from it. All of these existing pieces we already use for the whey processing side. We could repurpose them, parts of them, for extracting valuable components.
The idea of finding profits in the waste product is nothing new for the dairy industry. Prior to the 1970s, local cheese plants spread whey on farm fields as a type of fertilizer. But consolidation and stricter environmental standards made that less feasible over time. The challenge led to the creation of ultrafiltration, a process for removing the protein from whey to be used in other products. Today, whey protein concentrate is used for protein powders and other supplements. And Lucy said it's a multi-billion dollar global market.
To me, that was kind of an inspiration of, we can see something that was at that time a waste product and say, this could be used for something. We could do something with this.
John Umhafer from the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association agrees that bio-based chemicals could be the next step forward in that evolution, especially for plants that can't afford to invest in the technology on their own and would benefit from pooling whey together at a central biorefinery.
Mostly it's an opportunity for the medium to small manufacturer, which is great news because it would be a new financial boon for both them and their dairy farms.
The new products could increase pay for dairy farmers. That would mean a lot, especially as the number of farms in Wisconsin continues to decline. Turning whey into plastics may seem futuristic, but Lucy says at its core, it's about letting nothing go to waste. He says farmers have long valued the resilience of making things themselves.
As a society, if we get back to kind of remaking all of it, not just disposing of it, I think people can get that story.
The dairy industry likely won't return to the days of small cheese plants and small amounts of whey. But Lucy says they don't have to maintain the single-use mentality that's led to large amounts of plastic and food waste. The industry can instead help build a better way. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every single weekday morning. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.